Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. We're hanging out in Acts 13 and 14. I did get an interesting picture this morning. Zach, you might appreciate this being a Florida native. So one of my Gulf Shores neighbors down at the Southern Lair, they're about three houses up, and they're on the water. I'm across the street from the water. We're on the lagoon down there, and it's kind of marshy, so there's a lot of marsh grass around where we are on this lagoon. So I've seen a couple of gators out there because it's good gator cover, you know, for them to have that marsh there. But one of my neighbors, he ran over something in their carport. So they get out and they look, and they had this picture. And so at the front of their garage, which I walk by this house all the time when Lisa and I go walking, is about, it looked like about a 6 to 8 foot gator. And they had run over him because he was under their car. And so, of course, I guess when they ran, when they backed over, and then he scrambled up there to the front of the carport, which would make him a little more dangerous because you just ran over. But I just thought, man, I don't know if it's this weather we're having because of storms, if it pushes them in, or if this is just what's happening now. But you start having these 6 and 8 foot gators in your carport days, I mean, flooding is one thing, but, you know, dealing with a reptile that could cause you or your little poochies, like your little ones at your house, that would just be a snack.
Yeah, it's like when I was in, did I tell you when I was in South America? I mean, there's a lot of crocodiles. And
they're a little more aggressive and fierce from what I hear than the American alligator.
Can you remember?
No, I don't remember anything about a crocodile.
The traffic jams.
And you said you saw them off a bridge or something.
Well, people would line up and watch crocodiles eat cows that were trying to cross the river. And I'm like, what's going on? And so then my lovely wife, you know, because we're in South America, we're going different countries, and she's like, well, let's go. You know, you've seen these things in movies, which I thought at some point we had gotten to a point in our society where we quit walking between cliffs on these little Raiders of the Lost Ark type things that are, they're bridges, but everything's moving on them. They got chains, and they're like, oh, it's safe. You know, you fall off, you have a lot of time to think about your impending death. She's like, let's go do that. I said, no, you go do it. Let me know how it works out. So her and my daughter, you know, because they like that adventure.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is the crocodiles, because every time this one of these little bridges, they're not a bridge. What is that? A walkway that you're...
Just like the one on the Indiana Jones where they're walking across, all the crocodiles are down below.
And I'm like, I'm not putting the Lord God to the test by walking across this when we don't have the resources in this country to build a bridge. You know? And my wife is like, oh, I'm sure it's fine.
You know what you call that? Just famous last words. You know, I'm sure it's fine.
So I think my line was, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I get that with God, but I don't have faith in what I see.
Because
I'm like, if I just so happen to make it the fall, because there have been people who have fallen great distances and survived.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm surrounded by crocodiles. Why would you do this?
But well, they did it. And, oh, they, yeah. And now they've
and
lived
screams and you get screams and hollers going out through the, right. the caverns and the valleys. And I just thought, I think my wife sometimes is not that courageous. And then she does that. And I'm like, for what purpose? For what end?
That's what I asked John Luke. John Luke, when he was young, he was a teenager, like, it was back when the show was on. He was like 15 or 16. And he went skydiving for the first time. And he's gone several times since, he told me. And I was just like, why? Like, and I said, what's you thinking, John Luke? Just tell me, because I don't even like getting on an airplane and flying in it with everything closed up. The idea of jumping out of one has zero appeal to me. And I get it that you would be flying and all yeah. that, but I'm just going to wait for the resurrection because
Jesus. Well, that's me. I'm saying, well, what
but I was he going- said, he said, I just, the idea of it exhilarated me and it was better than I expected. And like he would convince me to go. And I said, well, that's good for you, bud. I'm waiting for the resurrection.
I mean, you to your point about the alligators, you know, we had a place one time, Phil did, where we'd get alligator tags. You remember that, Phil?
Yep.
And, but I didn't even, when we first got the place, Phil and I just took off roaming all over. We were leasing the yeah. place, and it's a duck hole. But it was just, I mean, it was cool. It was about this time of year. And it had been cool the night before. We're out there in the swamps looking at the duck holes, you know. And well, the next day, the same place that we had just gone all over the property, it got warmer. And we were going to go do it again. I don't know if you remember this. And we went out there, and there's literally an alligator under every log. We had just, the day before, just stomping around all over the whole property. And this place was literally teeming with alligators. And it kind of hit me that, you know, I could have died here.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And eventually we caught them. But so we were, for our treasure hunting show, we were going to do a little duck blind scene during teal season. And so I'm going back a few months. The show hasn't even released yet that we did. But like our show usually does, when we went out there to get in the blind and do our little scene, whether we were going to shoot teal or not, I was like, if a bunch comes by, but it's pretty hard to shoot teal when you have a camera crew with you.
Yeah.
Because they're not camouflaged.
They're standing out a little bit.
But when we got to the blind, well, a big alligator jumped off the blind. And they're like, forget the teal. Let's follow the gators, you know, because they're all these TV people, you know, they're having my wife's same experience.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, there's alligators out here.
Let's get them.
Get the cameras on them, you know. And so, long story short, the guy who owned the place, I was like, dude, what do you do with these alligators? He's like, well, we're fixed to catch them. We just got our tags in. I was like, well, do you want to partner up and do this on TV? And he's like, sure. So we went alligator hunting for the show, and we caught one, and it you'll see it on the show. But I'm bringing this up because the day after we caught the alligator, they caught an alligator that was almost 14 feet long.
That's a big boy.
And I got a picture of it. I'll ask him if we can show this picture. And you know, you see these pictures on the internet, and you're like, well, that can't be real. Because if I saw this picture, I'd say, no way. Because even though it's almost four, well, it just doesn't look real.
Right.
I mean, I've lived in Louisiana my whole life, and I've seen a lot of alligators. I've never seen one like this. This is a monstrosity. So the producer of the show, she's like,
yeah, that's two Zach Edies laying end to end. 14 yeah. footer, you know what I'm saying? That's a big animal.
Yeah, and
that's a big boy.
So when we caught the alligator on TV, my idea of success and their idea of success was two totally different things. Because when I got home, Missy said, well, how'd it go? And I said, we survived. Because you don't realize trying to film that alligator. He doesn't realize we're doing a TV show here. You know, when you got
you think
a
hold, you missed the memo.
Yeah, you know, when you've caught one, He's trying to defend himself here, you know. And the only way to bag the gator is... Uh-oh. There it went. Okay, the power went out, so it was mid-alligator story. We have a storm going on. There's alligators going around.
It's hard to get a podcast.
I forgot exactly where I was in the alligator story. But,
I don't know, but I was fascinated. 14-footer.
Yeah, so what happened was the next day they catch this 14-footer. And, I mean, they took a picture. There's 2 6-foot men standing on each other's shoulders, and the alligator is 2 feet longer than 2 6-foot men. And so the producer, I sent her that picture, and she was like, man, what bad luck that we only caught one not near that size. I won't give you the details. You have to watch the show for that. And we caught a nice alligator, but compared to this... And I said, bad luck. I said, if we would have tried to land that alligator for your TV production, someone would have died.
Or at least lost an arm.
I mean, you don't, because they just don't understand the power is my point.
Yeah.
There is a power and there's power. A 14-footer with 20 people standing around in a little rickety John boat trying to film it. So, you know, be careful what you wish for.
I love it. Well, and look, and there's more of them now. I mean, I can remember when there were no gators in Louisiana.
Yeah.
This is all in our lifetime, Jace. I mean, used to
come. Well, in North Louisiana.
In North Louisiana, right.
South Louisiana, you've always
had them. Yeah, I always had them. North Louisiana is what I meant.
Yeah, well, you're right. That was... We never saw them when we were kids.
But they've migrated up here.
Now we see them all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a general rule, what I'm saying is alligator is, I deem them as harmless just because I've been around them. I think the only way you'd get in trouble is if you were around a nest during the springtime and stumbled upon.
Or if you're trying to catch one, like you were describing.
Well, right. Yeah. If you're, you know, you have
one. Dealing with a live one that, yeah, there
something could go wrong. But, crocodiles, different story. They're aggressive.
Yep.
And you see these people who are tourists or whatever. It's the same people that go up and try to hug a bear. You know, hug a bear. John Denver song in the background. And
it's all fun and games until somebody gets eaten.
That's right. Well, hug a gator.
Exactly. You know, so if you go out there and try to be stupid, it's not going to end well.
It is a wild animal. So definitely.
Well, I grew up in North Florida, which was, there was a gator infestation where I grew up. And so I was never afraid of them for a couple of reasons. One, when we would go skiing on the Suwannee River, I mean, there are gators on the bank the whole way down. But as soon as you ski by them, they go in the water. They're kind of like turtles. You know, they want to get away there. They weren't aggressive. And then on the campus of University of Florida in Gainesville, which is where I was born, they have a lake. It's called Lake Alice. It's like in the center of campus, or on the edge of campus, rather. And there's literally gators, like 12, 14-foot gators just on the sidewalk in the sun. I mean, it's kind of a weird feeling, but they're right in the middle of everything. There's this lake just full of alligators right on the campus of University of Florida. So
which
I never
is,
was really I mean, afraid of
them. Which is why their mascot is the gator.
The closest I came to losing a hand is we were frog hunting in a slough in North Louisiana, which you wouldn't think this happened. We have alligators, but they're not as plentiful as somewhere like Florida or South Louisiana. And so we hit a log, we come over, I'm on the edge of the boat. You know, we grab frogs with our hands. And when we bounced over the log, because our mode of operati when you're frog hunting is if you have something in the way, like a log pile, or because a frog's liable to be anywhere, you get over that with speed.
Yeah. It's shock and awe.
Well, you just...
That's how you get the frog.
What we do, there's a signal that the man is fixed to catch the frog. If he raises his hand and shakes his finger, that means give it all it's got. Now, you will also tear up equipment, put hole in the boats, turn boats over. All this is happening in these moments. But Phil knows what I'm talking about. Phil trained me.
Oh, yeah.
And when I bounced over that log with my hand up to get the frog, just a gator that I did not see, he just opened his mouth like, come to me, my pretty. So here I am, hand up. Oh, no, gator, there's an alligator open in between me and the frog, and his mouth opens.
Yeah.
I don't really remember what happened after that, because
you
I went
up on the frog
from
at
the
that point,
front
right?
of the boat to the back of the boat without any knowledge of what happened in between.
At that point, it was sheer panic and instinct took over
it
to
did.
Get away from that alligator.
You say, well, what did you do? I looked down and to see if I had wet myself during the process, which I hadn't. Because that was terrifying. You know, you would think all he had to do was just snap because I was that close to him. But I don't think he was really trying to attack me. He just saw something coming toward him.
Somebody was going to attack him.
Yeah, I think that's what
happened. So, Unashamed Nation, you see, all I need to do is tell you about a picture I saw this morning, and there was our cold open. Frank J., Jace out of our mailbag, said, you've heard of John the Revelator? Well, I love Jace, but he's Jace the Interrupter. Ha, ha, ha. So, there you go.
Sometimes in life, you need interruptions.
Let's take our first break. So, as you know, we're all about faith, family, and fun. If you want opportunities to grow your church, engage your community, and reach families, look no further than our good friends at Upward Sports. Upward Sports is the world's leading Christian youth sports ministry outreach program. Upward Sports is dedicated to partnering with your church to establish a first-class, self-sustaining, intentional sports ministry. And I got to tell you, for all the years I was pastoring at our church, I would have loved to have known about these guys because it's a big help. Whether it's utilizing your church gym, your outdoor field, or nearby facilities, sports can serve as a powerful tool for community outreach in 2024. Here's what you do. Visit upward.com/unashamed today to learn more about adding this outreach ministry to your lineup. Make sure you check out the incentives they offer you and your church while visiting this website, like a $500 sports startup grant. That's upward.org/unashamed. Upward.org/unashamed. Check them out.
So I'll tell you this, though. I wasn't as scared that moment as I did when I got dared because there was a frog. We dry docked because it was too shallow. And there was the biggest bullfrog I've ever seen in my life. And there were three snakes coiled up.
I've seen that many times.
In between where the boat is dry docked and the frog. And my buddy dared me. And I was young. I was stupid.
Now, this is the man that wouldn't cross the rickety thing, but he'll tiptoe through the tulips around three cottonmouth.
That's a good point, Al. If there
you do,
I would have gone by on the rickety thing. I'm not going to do it just to do it. If there's a huge bullfrog on the other
you
side,
you might have gone.
Oh, I would have done it. I'm Indiana Jones. And I got out of the boat, and the guy, you know him, old Williams,
yep.
He was the motor man. My adrenaline was pumping so much, and I just ran, It was like the
triple jump. Yeah,
and
don't.
I'm like Si. I think I actually broke the record for the triple jump. Got the frog, triple jump.
You could have been a gold medal winner with that triple jump. Mm.
Dove in the boat, and old William said it was a miracle.
You know, that's what we should. There's an idea, Zach, for a new television series. We call it the Redneck Olympics, where you have things like snakes and things in the mix of the while you're doing your Olympic feats.
Yeah. I think I made that story up, but it's a true story. It lives in infamy because I think I'm going to retire.
I would watch would watch a triple jump over three water moccasins than just a guy running down the thing.
Yeah, there's got to be, you got to raise the stakes.
Yeah, there's got to be an element of danger.
Yeah.
I agree.
Redneck Olympics.
The reward outweighed the risk.
We had I'll tease that we did a cooking episode yesterday when I thought about Redneck Olympics. Jay Stone came up with a, because we did a, he was cooking a dish yesterday on our cooking episode, which you guys can see if you go to Blaze. It's the Robertson Cooking Show is where we're doing our cooking episodes now. And it was interesting because he came up with the, we talk about the Cajun Trinity, you know, being garlic, onion, and bell pepper. And he talked about the Redneck Trilogy, which was cream cheese, jalapenos, and bacon.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Redneck Trilogy. You can put that on anything, and it's pretty tasty. So
I actually ate some ducks in that manner last night.
Yeah. And well, yesterday we had pork and venison that way. So,
isn't that something?
Yeah.
So Redneck I'm not Trilogy. Just telling you that story because there's no spiritual application.
I've been waiting for where you were going to bring this.
We're in the book of Acts, and you got all this persecution and mayhem, and there's powers that are at work against God's people and God. It's mainly gods that we've created, that human beings create, and you're like, why are we going through this much pain, suffering, and why is God allowing all this? And I'm telling you, the reward is greater than the risk. So if you imagine that's what God had to do to catch us.
That's good. That's a good spin.
Despite the dangers, the evil, because a cotton mouth, I think, is just evil.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a correlation with the evil one embodying a snake. Because once you get to know a cottonmouth real well, what would you say, Phil?
Oh.
They have no fear.
None.
They will bite you.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the point I was making. I'm way more scared of a cottonmouth moccasin than I am an alligator.
Which, by the way, some other friends of mine down at our house down there were swimming in our pool, and they took a picture, and there he was, old Jim, right outside my swimming pool down there. I haven't seen one, so now I got to deal with that when I get back. Anyway, so back to Acts 13. Jay's nice pivot. To get us back to our text, we left off. We kind of were just looking ahead into this sermon. We got a little bit into the weeds of it, but I want to read it today because I have to say, I mean, the sermon in Acts 2 that Peter gives is probably the most famous sermon in Acts, but this one's pretty good too. This is Paul's first recorded sermon. He's on his first missionary journey. He just had this dust up in Cyprus, and now he's in this Pisidian Antioch. And so he goes into the synagogue. They ask him if he's got a word, and he's like, oh, I got a word. Hold my fermented drink and watch this. And so he says, standing up in verse 16, Paul motioned with his hands, and men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, which we talked about that in the last podcast, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. That's an interesting way to put that. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. And by the way, that was all predicted when Abraham left. This land was predicted way back then. So he's kind of doing the same thing Peter did and also the same thing Stephen did, remember, in his sermon.
Yeah, it happens over and over. That's why we went back last podcast, which to some who are new in the faith, that might have seemed very historical and hard to grab a hold of. But this is God's message to the world. This is how it happened. He chose Israel and brought Jesus to restore Israel, and through that, opened it up for everyone.
Which is why for people, I don't know, some groups for some reason think the Old Testament is not important, but it really gives you the basis. It's all there. So it enhances, and look, it's difficult. It's not an easy read, but I'm telling you, if you can really spend a little bit of time back there on some of those prophets and what happens, it really brings it to life for you.
But unfortunately, a lot of people also view the Old Testament like some of the Jews, I would say the majority of the Jews, because there's a phrase in here that we're going to get to where even though they had those scriptures and had those stories, they didn't recognize Jesus.
Yep.
Because when you read Luke 24, when Jesus said, I'm fulfilling everything that the law and the prophets said about me. You remember the John 5? You study the scriptures thinking that by them you're going to have eternal life, but you refuse to realize that those scriptures were about me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you don't want to miss the point is the point. So in verse 20, all this took about 450 years, this idea of the Exodus and the conquering of Canaan. After this, God gave them judges, which there's a book about that, until the time of Samuel, the prophet. So these are kind of eras. It's a good way to look at it as you're reading through the Bible, the era of the judges, the era of the prophets. Then the people asked for a king. Now we got the era of kings. And he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. And that's a whole other interesting story. After removing Saul, he made David their king. Because really, David was the only one that was picked by God. Everybody else either came through heritage or was picked by men.
And he made a covenant with David.
He made a covenant mm-hmm. that would last all the way and be recognized in Christ. Let's take another break. We're all trying to be healthier and get more fruits and vegetables in our diet. And that's hard to do sometimes by eating just fruits and vegetables because it's too much for you to eat in one day. And so that's when our friends, Balance of Nature, have come up with a way, Jase, for us to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy way.
We've been taking it.
It takes about 5 seconds.
Because basically the reason they're doing this is because a person doesn't eat even half of the recommended servings in a day. So you get this gap in your nutrition. And we're all about balance, right? Another thing I love about these guys is they haven't raised their prices in 10 years. So they're trying to keep it affordable, really trying to make your health better. The pills are easy to swallow. I take them every day, three of each. They have 31 different kinds of produce that you take every single day in their fruits and veggies, and they're going to help you live a better life. So we want you to check them out. When you go to balanceofnature.com, you'll get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code PHIL. So that's limited to 5 sets, but you'll save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code PHIL for 35% off. That's balanceofnature.com. So in verse 22, it says, he testified concerning David, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And David was a flawed man with a lot of issues, but he was also a believer and very special to God. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus. So he made that leap you just made, Jase, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, and this is interesting, John, talking about John the Baptist, preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So, you know, because John was lauded as the spirit of Elijah, and you know, a lot of people thought he was the Messiah. And he said, no, I'm here just to point to the Messiah, which is that point of don't miss Jesus. And then I wanted to read this and park here for a minute because this was the point we were making. This really is the money part of his sermon. He says in verse 26, brothers, children of Abraham. So he's calling them back again. He's bringing them back. This is what a preacher does when you making your next point. You know, you bring everybody back.
Yeah.
And you God-fearing Gentiles. So he adds that again. It is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Now remember, this is what they're doing. They're there during the Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. So now he's getting down, rubber meets the road. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. And for many days, he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. So I want to stop there before we get into the next part, because he's going to do what David, I mean, do what Peter did and quote David about the resurrection. But that, in essence, is the gospel message. But he's expanded the idea that it was more than just the Jews who missed him. But also, Zach, which is interesting to me, is he shows you that everything had been talked about and was fulfilled in this moment.
Yeah.
As well.
He's given a history of Israel. So I think this verse 26, you can't miss this, because he gives a history of the children of Abraham, Israel. But then when he readdresses them, who does he include?
Yeah.
The Gentiles.
Correct.
The fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us, Jew and Gentile, that this message of salvation has been sent. I mean, you see this is happening in almost every single chapter of Acts. I mean, when the sheet came down from heaven, yep, and revealed all the different animals that were previously considered unclean, that God said, don't call anything that I've made clean unclean. And then the next chapter, it tells us he was talking about Jew and Gentile and the inclusion of the Gentiles. And so this vein is coming out here in the gospel. And also when he says in verse 27 that the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that that are read every Sabbath. I mean, there's a lot of prophecy in the Old Testament about not recognizing the kingdom when it would come, not recognizing the king when it would come, that it's a secret. I've mentioned this on the previous podcast. Mark 4 talks about this when it says that Jesus says to you have been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but it's not for those that are outside. And he gives this quote out this Old Testament prophecy here that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So it's a revelation that came in Jesus, but not everybody recognized it, and that was in part to fulfill what the Old Testament had prophesied. But the secret of the kingdom is this, Colossians 1:27, that it's Christ in you. So I think that's what's being established here with the multi-ethnic kingdom that these guys are establishing on behalf of Christ, is that you're going to have, God's going to live not in a temple anymore. He's not going to be found in your centers of worship, in your synagogues, in your Areopagus in Acts 17, which is coming up. He's not going to be found in those places. The God of heaven will be found living in humans, Greek and Jew, Gentile and Israel, male and female, slave and free. Like God will, Christ in you. And that is the secret of the kingdom. And you're seeing this unfold in real time in the New Testament church. I think that's one of the key undergirding truths of this passage.
No, and I think you're right. And I think that's exactly why that Paul's methodology was what it was, because he was going in these synagogues first to just declare the gospel to the people there. I mean, for them to understand this is what it's all about. And I think his credibility as being a Pharisee, as training under Gamaliel, all those things give him, that's why they said, hey, you got a word for us. It's because of his background. But now he's not only giving him the good news, but he is expanding the horizon that it's more than just us.
It's always struck me, he just threw in all this, took 450 years.
Yeah.
God's like way more patient than we are.
That's a great point, Dad. Yeah. Because we if it doesn't happen in 45 minutes for us, much less 450 years, right?
I mean, this was not an easy thing to have happened to the human race.
That's right. And it takes a while to get it out there and get it set up.
I know it.
What were you going to say, Zach?
When you read verse 32, which we didn't get there yet, but it says, we tell you the good news, what God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus.
Yeah.
And he goes into some Psalms. But I think it's important when we define the gospel, you know, we often limit the gospel, in my opinion, to just the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's part of the gospel, but the gospel that's being preached here is much bigger than that. And you see it in Mark, when in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, when John was arrested, and by the way, this was just mentioned, you know, John, or at least John the Baptist's ministry was mentioned. When John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And then he's going to tell us what that gospel is, and saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So I think it's important for us to expand our definition of the gospel, that the kingdom is at hand. And the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the 1 Corinthians 15 passage, is how our atonement is paid for and how we enter into that kingdom. But it's also all of the Old Testament prophecies that led up to this. It's also life in Christ now. It's also that Christ lives in you. Acts chapter 2, when they repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's that Colossians 1:27, Christ in me now. And that is, so the gospel is that God is near, not just near, God is in, he lives in the in human beings. And I think that when we start to expand out our gospel of Christ in that way, it moves us away from just a gospel that says it's only about forgiveness of sins. It's only about what we're saved from. It's only about our justification, to a gospel that says, yes, it's about that, but it's also about what we're saved to, or rather who we're saved to. And now life in Christ, which would speak to my life right now as a Christian, like what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness now. I need healing now. I need hope now. I need transformation now. I want my desires to be transformed. I don't want to live in loneliness and misery and shame and pain. And the gospel has something to say about that right now, even post my post salvation. So I think that that's all kind of being unfolded here.
So, Jace, I don't know if you know this or not, but Fast Growing Trees, one of our sponsors, is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.
I have thought about it, because when they added the word fast to growing trees, that got my attention.
Because we kind of grew up in the more slow-growing trees era, that Dad planted cypress trees and all that, right?
Yeah.
But these guys are offering stuff that you can put in your yard. It's a perfect time of year for it. In Louisiana, we get this springtime where we love to plant stuff. Lisa and I have been looking to get some fruit trees. Zach is building his border wall up there in North Carolina. He's putting some evergreens in between he and his neighbors. So whatever your interest is, they've got the perfect fit for both your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 or 2 days. They have what they call a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, which means your stuff is going to get to you in good shape or they're going to replace it. They also offer free plant consultation as long as you need it, which is really good. So whatever you're looking for to plant into your yard, these are the guys to do it. If you need help, they're going to be there for you 24/7. And you can talk to a plant expert about your soil type, your landscape design, how to take care of your plants. You don't have to have a green thumb when it comes to these guys. And Lisa and I have used them before. We got some palm trees from them. They still look fantastic. So this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off select plants and other deals. Listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code UNASHAMED at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So what he does next, as you led into, is he now does exactly what Peter does. He invokes the name of David, which is going to have a huge influence on this audience in the synagogue, about the resurrection. And so he quotes Psalm 2, "You are my son, today I become your father," which this is a messianic psalm, because David in his psalms looked ahead to this idea of lordship. But it sounds like he's talking about himself, but Jesus even said he couldn't be talking about himself. He had to be talking about something before him. He was talking about him, Jesus. And then he quotes that same one from Psalm 16, "You will not let your Holy One see decay. which is what David also prophesied about Jesus. And then verse 36, he says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." So he's making the point. David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about somebody else.
And he's talking about something so interesting in life.
Yeah.
Is that if you had a way, if you could put something in a bottle and sell it for $20, and it was to keep your body from decaying.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that would make you a multimillionaire, if it worked.
A billionaire.
That would make you a trillionaire.
A trillionaire, that's right. If you could come up with that one.
A gazillionaire. Well, it all depends on your marketing, Zach.
I don't think it would matter how you market it. If it worked, trust me.
I love that this where this is going, because I'm saying this is what we're discussing.
Yeah.
And people are like, there's more health stuff out there and pills and procedures. And you're reading about a promise that he's quoting that says, oh, and what's the nature of the promise? That his body would not decay.
Yeah.
That should get your attention.
That should get your attention.
I mean, I've seen more carcasses probably than most people. And they all have one thing in common. They decay.
They decay. And they smell bad.
Which there's a lot of, it's interesting in the scholarly world. They read this because they can't decide or agree if he decayed a little and it quit decaying.
Yeah.
Because he did die.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because in Acts 2, I mean, it wasn't like this the first time we're hearing about this. You remember what Peter said?
Yeah.
Peter said, what is the exact phrase? He quoted in Psalm 16, it says, so Acts 2:26, he said, "Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." It also says it another place in here somewhere.
And he's quoting that same psalm. That
the same psalm? Is it Psalm 16?
Yeah, Psalm 16. Yeah.
Oh, so it's, yeah, they both, they, so isn't that interesting?
Peter and I'm not so sure that he heard this from Peter.
Oh, I know the verse I was looking for. Sorry.
That's right.
For interrupting. 2:24. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Yeah.
So whatever that means.
Yeah.
His body's not seeing decay, and it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Because I think at that point you say, well, why? Because he had the Holy Spirit of God. Which then when you read Romans 8:11, it's real exciting.
Yeah.
Because it says, if the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, it will give life to your mortal body.
Right.
So your body won't see decay.
Right.
In the way that it can never be recovered.
That's right.
And he, to be a little different than Jesus.
And he said this in the next verse, in verse 37, Paul did in his sermon, Acts 13, "But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay." So, I mean, he you know, Paul just flatly states it.
Yeah, but the scholars don't agree.
I know. But, I mean, that sounds pretty plain to me.
They don't like it because it makes it sound like, well, our body's not going to see decay. Well, it is.
Yeah, we're going to die.
You're going to die.
And you're going
somewhere
back
in there. I'm not sure what the answer. I brought up something I don't have an answer for, but I'm saying the scholars don't. But just because you don't know exactly how God's going to work that out, doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah,
he's going to. It's kind of the same argument when people say, "What is God made of?" Well, not sure how to answer that. You know, because you have verses that say, you can't look upon God's face or you'll die. And then people say, well, I didn't think God had a face.
Yeah.
I thought he was light, unapproachable light.
I just looked this up. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the petrification of
the what?
Body petrification.
Yeah, I just like the way you said it. That's funny.
Or putrefaction. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Petrified. So it's like when you have a piece of pine kindling, the petrified wood. Have you ever seen petrified wood?
Yep.
Well, what is that?
It's a part that didn't rot.
part that didn't rot. See,
this
I like
is
that.
Putrid. Mm-hmm. This is P-U-T-R-E-F-A-C-T-I-O-N. So petrifaction or
I think that means when you ate something bad.
Putrefaction.
Putrefaction is when I ate something and vomited it up. You sure you got the right word?
Well, it's on Wikipedia, so we have to. This is the problem.
I'm trying to make the point. I think it's the petrified wood concept.
I don't think it's petra though. It's putra. It's P-U-T.
Oh, well, read us what that means. Then that'll help.
The first part of decomposition of the body.
Yeah,
it's marked by the breakdown of the body tissues by bacteria from the inside out.
Oh yeah, that's right. Putrefied.
Yeah. So that's different than petrified.
So the first signs of putrefaction happen within 24 to 72 hours after death. You divide 72 hours by 24, and guess how many days you get?
Three
days.
Hmm. That's interesting. Well,
we've discovered quite the concept here. But I was just making the point, if you have a choice of being putrefied or petrified, go with petrified.
Yeah, Jesus was neither. Neither suffered petrification or
putrefaction. Well, look up petrification.
Look up that one, Zach.
See that?
That's why you're looking that up.
Al's trying to get a sermon.
Let's take another break. Oh, I'm working this.
Are you petrified or are you putrefied?
That would
Or preach. Are you in Jesus?
So if you're a fan of everything that we're doing here on the Unashamed podcast and you like showing us support, there's a couple of easy things you can do. You should subscribe to us on YouTube and on whatever podcast app that you use as well. Life is busy. You don't always have a chance to sit down in front of the TV to watch a show. That's one of the reasons why podcasts are so popular. They allow you to listen in on the fun, even if you're busy doing something else that's got to be done. A lot of people watch and listen to us at work, which is a great blessing. They work in a place where they can get spiritual nutrition as well. Our YouTube channel is very close now to hitting 1 million subscribers, which is a lot of people. And so we're very grateful for that. We're very humbled by that. And so we want to encourage you to get us over that number and continue to spread the word. Subscribing to our YouTube channel is a great way to watch the show. Subscribing to our podcast is a great way to listen while you're on the go. Go to youtube.com/Phil Robertson on Blaze TV. That's all one word, Phil Robertson on Blaze TV. And find Unashamed with the Robertson family wherever you get your podcast. youtube.com/Phil Robertson on Blaze TV for the YouTube channel and Unashamed with the Robertson family on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and iHeart.
All right. Petrification is the process by which organic matter exposed to minerals over a long period is turned into a stony substance. That'd be the wood.
Yeah, that turns into water stone.
Every time. It turns into a piece of rock that looks like wood.
Right.
But that's my point. Why is that in creation?
Yeah.
Gives you hope.
Well, that's my point.
Is there a way for me not to rot? I'm interested in that.
I agree.
But it is interesting that Jesus was not in the grave more than 3 days, and the process of putrefaction is first evident within 3 days.
Yeah.
So his body was rescued before that set in.
Which is why he waited, by the way, I think, 4 days to raise Lazarus. He waited another 24-hour period.
So he had begun to putrefy.
He had begun. And
there you go. So there's your answer to Romans 8:11. Even though we're going to be putrefied, don't be petrified because you're coming back.
We got a new shirt, guys.
And don't patronize me by missing out the point. So that's exactly what Paul's point was and Peter's. About quoting David, because what they said was David did see decay. So he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about somebody else. And so the somebody is Jesus, who you don't want to miss.
Can you imagine the joy in that? I mean, we're kind of having fun with this. There's, of all the top joys in your life, when you come back from the dead, I mean, you're back.
You're back.
It's just, hey, baby.
I'm back, baby.
And I'm better than ever, which is will really be true.
That's right.
I can't wait.
This is going to be awesome.
It's an exciting thing. I'm just saying, you read over this and you're like, oh, his body didn't see decay. What are the technical aspects of that? Wait a minute. Your body didn't see decay? As bad as this world is?
Yeah.
And you know what else it does? You know, when you're near a putrefied body, it stinks.
That's it.
But one day we'll smell lovely.
Lovely. To one with the aroma of death, the other the fragrance of life. So any good preacher knows you got to tell them what you're going to tell. You got to tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them what you told them. So here's his word. A lot of times preachers will say in conclusion. In verse 38, Paul's was, therefore, which means here's what this is all about. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Now, that's interesting. He was talking about the resurrection. He was talking about his death. But now he's going to shift it into the forgiveness of sins. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Now, that's quite the statement.
Yeah, that's the one I looked up the Greek. Right. And it's like the literal word is from everything. From everything you couldn't be justified. Whatever it is.
Yeah, right. Whatever. And the law would never do this for you.
Couldn't do it.
Or the animal sacrifices.
I love that statement because it was very difficult for them to give up certain aspects of the Jewish traditions.
Right.
But he just made a blanket statement.
Yeah.
Whatever happened before has now been taken care of.
That's a huge statement. And it really is a comforting statement. I wasn't received that way by some people, but it was a comforting statement. So then, Jason, here's the point you made in the last podcast. He says, since he's making this proclamation, take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. In other words, you don't want to miss this, like they did back in Habakkuk's days about Babylonia.
That's why I brought up the big deal about Habakkuk, because when you read this verse, it doesn't make much sense.
Right.
And I'll read it for you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. He is telling you what happened.
That's right.
And they're having trouble.
Right.
Believe in him. And it was because of that situation in Habakkuk where God was using a more evil nation to judge his chosen people.
Correct.
So that one day he could introduce a savior to the world. And in this place, the same thing is fixing to happen to them. The Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in just a few years from right here at the hands of Rome. It's the same concept. And you're like, oh, well, isn't that scary? Well, it would be if you didn't have Jesus.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. Which is his point. Don't miss it.
And it's the same point for us today.
Yep.
Because, look, the number one conversation I hear out in the world is, man, what's happened to this country? What are we going to do?
Right.
Oh, no. Well, it may be judged, and it may go down. If you're outside of Jesus, it's probably going to be a struggle.
Yep.
If you're in Jesus, oh well.
Because it may go down by hands more evil than our evil people.
Oh.
But you know what? Jesus is
very
still
likely.
There. So any preacher that preaches a sermon, he always wants to be invited back. So verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. So he gets invited back. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism, there's those Greeks again, followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. So it's kind of like that deal. They wanted to hear a little bit more.
Well, notice he said continue in the grace of God, which is the same thing that he's saying in 39.
Exactly.
Through him, everyone who believes justified from everything you cannot.
Because you know what that meant, Jez? That meant people were saying, are you saying, when you said that, do you mean anything? Do you mean like, what about this and what about you? They were giving him the whatabouts. You know that's what was happening. He kept saying, nope.
As great as grace is, it's just very hard to accept.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
we want to do it. We think we can somehow get our lives straight. You're reliant on the grace of God.
So here's what's interesting. Here's the one I want to get to here in the last couple of minutes. On the next Sabbath, so now a week goes by. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So because of that one sermon in that synagogue, word has now gone to everybody. Remember, this is a bunch of Gentiles. With verse 45, here's that thing I was mentioning that there's always opposition. When the Jews saw the crowds, so it's not all Jews, but there's somebody that was in that synagogue the week before, when they saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Now, just think about that for a minute. I mean, the whole, what you said and what you talked about was so well received that the whole city shows up to hear more the next week. And your response is, what is going on here? Somebody's got to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their mindset, which
I think the same thing goes on today.
It does. It's human nature and not the good human nature. It's the bad human nature to see something you can't explain and try to shut it down.
God is working, and instead of embracing the message of God, you attack the vehicles at which the message is coming, which in this case is Paul and Barnabas.
So he goes on, and what he says was in verse 46, we had to speak the word of God to you first since you rejected it. So he's talking to these Jews. We now turn to the Gentiles. So he just goes ahead and lays it out. For this is what the Lord has commanded. I made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And that goes back to what Jesus said, remember, in Acts 1:9, when he left here. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews, here's that opposition, incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution, and finally they expelled Paul and Barnabas from the region. So they shook the dust from their feet and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. So in spite of the opposition, in spite of the difficulty, the gospel had been planted, and now you've got this church that's going to be in this place that they're going to eventually come back through and revisit. So that gets us to the next city, which we'll talk about next time we get on the podcast. There's some interesting thing that happened. We already kind of looked ahead about them trying to make them gods, but we'll continue the journey as we go. See you next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.